What's up, nerds? Welcome to another edition of the Champions Pod. I am the host, Pittsburgh Jason, and with me we have a first-time champion, the GM of the Memphis Blues, Mr. Corey. What's up, brother?
What's up, guys? You know what? I know many don't know, even though I'm in the league, so it's this will be a great introduction for everyone to get to know the Blues GM.
If you could just maybe just turn up your mic just a scotch.
Let's see. Give me a sec here.
But in the meantime, while he's figuring out his mic,
let me hit the settings here.
We will get to know who Corey is, because there's probably a lot of you guys in the league, Zach, who doesn't even know who Corey is, because Corey is, as I've said, allergic to slack. So Corey, this is your opportunity to introduce yourself to probably 40% of the league who don't know who you are.
Yeah. No. How's the volume now? Are we okay with the volume?
Yeah, I think it'll be okay.
Hold on. How about now? We better now?
Yep. So,
beauty.
So, who the fuck is Corey?
geez, tough question to ask, but I'm 36 from Halifax, Nova Scotia. I don't even know if guys even know where that is, but we're out on the east coast of Canada. I'm an elementary school teacher. I teach grade six. In a kind of a inner city school. So we got some pretty awesome behaviors that are kind of I see in the Sky Chat once in a while whenever I venture in there with some of the delinquents. But kind of got into playing this game. I was obviously big into video games growing up. I was playing, NHL, Madden, NBA. And then obviously got into like Dynasty and realized that, I enjoyed simming the seasons as much as I did playing the game. And then so that gradually moved on to, finding OOTP. Play that for a year or two, and that was obviously just against the computer. And after a while you kind of figure out that the computer's basically a joke to play against. So I kind of did away with it for a bit. I was big into hockey growing up.
You don't say.
Went on scholarship to, yeah, I know, it's hard to believe, hey? But I went on scholarship to university for hockey. And we were, taking some really long road trips. And, in the middle of these road trips, I'm like, Jesus Christ, I'm bored as hell. Like, I got to figure out something to do. So I picked this game back up again. Really, fell in love with it, with, the managing and the development of players. I was hooked again. Going against the computer again, I was like, this isn't really, that much of a challenge. So I went on to the message boards one day and, I saw that they had these online leagues. I had no idea how they ran. So I joined one. It was, one where, again, there was really no chat. So my kind of style. I did well there, and I'm still in that league to this day. And I'd be shocked, or I wouldn't be shocked if, there's a couple guys in Sky that are in that league as well and may not know it. And then COVID happened, and, we got all this free time. And I decided, I probably had time for one more league. So went back to the message boards, and, I saw a post for this league, and I said, why the hell not? And little did I know what I was getting into. this is not what I was expecting at all. My previous experience with, guys export, we don't talk, and you just deal with your team and that's it. So to see what goes on in this league is pretty eye-opening, I would say, with just the attention and care that guys put into this is like pretty remarkable. But I've loved, every minute I've been in it. There are days where I look at SkyChat, I'll open it up in the morning and I'll see like 400 messages or some shit like this. I'll be like, what the hell has gone on to see all these messages? And I wish that I wasn't so busy with work and stuff, with life, that I could kind of just sit there and chat and just talk. So I will admit, I probably got to make a better effort. So that'll be my New Year's resolution. I've decided I'm going to try and get in SkyChat at least once a day. I'm going to try it.
You got to be careful, though. It's dangerous out there.
Well, I know. Once the sharks see blood in the water, they're coming after you.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've seen D-Rich. I've seen Dan. I've seen Casey, Matt. I've seen the guys go hunting. So I might just take it easy. But it looks fun in there. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan would like more participation out of, maybe some of the other guys that are in the shadows. And I know he's mentioned you before, and, obviously life is different for everybody. I have kids, but they're older. So I can sit with my laptop on my lap if I'm at my house and have Slack open and just BS all day if I want it. So, but everybody's different. So,
I get up, I know I'll check in the morning, just see what's going on. And then when I get to work, I probably don't pick up my phone until 3:30, 4 o'clock, with just how busy stuff's going on at work. But like I said, there's no more excuses. I'm getting in there. I'm going to dip the toes in the water and we'll see what happens. I'll leave it at that. We'll see what happens. January 1st, Memphis is coming in the chat.
Oh, I look forward to that. So, so you say that you do play in another league. So, that's always interesting because I have a couple leagues, and one of the first online league I got into, I'm still in. And a 100th of what this league is. So I'm always interested to hear what other buddies, everybody other's leagues are like, because I know they're, because I have a couple friends who have played this game, and they play online leagues, and I warn them because they ask me about this league all the time. I say, it's not for you. If you can't be here every day, because it's immersive. There's podcasts, there's live sims, there's Twitch, there's this, there's that. There's trades every day. There's chatting every day. If you can't be a part of it, it's not for you, because they ask, is there any open team? I said, no. Because there's a wait list.
Right.
So I'm always interested to hear about other leagues and how they compare, because I know, because none, the two other leagues I have are not even close.
Well, no, I mean, like, Sky does, it's not even comparable. Like, this other, we're simming every second day. We might see a trade here and there. It's through Discord, so you log on. There might be a message or two. This was my first league going in. So I thought, this is the norm. This is how every league operates. And so when I joined this one, I was like, okay, it's going to be a little busier. It's every day, but I've got a little more free time now with whatever I've got going on. So I'll be fine.
Oops.
And I screwed the pooch a little bit. You guys are absolutely insane, and I love
it. Animals.
You guys are absolute savages. I don't know how else to explain it other than like the commitment that like almost all 36 GMs show is like absurd. So we're all kind of freaks in our own little way here. We're all like our own little community. which is like remarkable. So I think it's unbelievable what everyone does. I've been really enjoying it. Sorry to Ryan. I know he's DM'd me a few times about trying to get me into the chat. And I just kind of, honestly, I just kind of ignored it. Hoping he, like most things, it just kind of goes away. You know what? But I realize it's probably for the betterment of the league. So I'll get in there. I'll mix it up with the guys, and we'll have a little more fun from the Memphis side.
Sounds good. Sounds good. So, you joined the league. You took over. You're not the original Memphis GM. You took over from Michael. I don't know. I don't remember exactly what. So, what year do you know it was your first year in Sky?
Yeah, I looked through. Where was it? I believe it was. Where is it? 2033 is when I joined.
Okay,
and I
so
think they'd
3 years
been an expansion
into...
team for what? Three. Yeah. And my first year, our farm was pretty stocked, but our major league team was absolute dog shit, and we went 42-102.
That's awesome.
So we were 60 games back of first. So automatically, I was like, "Holy shit! Like this is gonna be great." Because in my other league, I've never had a team where I've probably been below 500. So immediately I was like, this is new territory for me. So I was already excited to kind of start the journey a little bit. So I think, yeah, first year I went 42-102, got the first pick. And then my first, like I got the 1-1, and it was Terry Spear, who turned out to be a pile of shit for me.
And
I don't
yet,
know if you remember
I believe
him.
He's still in the league.
Yeah, I remember him playing third base, I think, for Arizona for a little bit. But he came out and he was looking like a two-way stud where he could be like a number one guy and then like your starting third baseman. And he ended up doing neither for me. So I've got a hate out for Terry Spear.
I believe when we were looking at that draft, I believe it was tank for Spear. I think he was the guy everybody would tank for.
Oh, yeah, he was head and shoulders above. I think, like, I don't know who I don't know, like Esparza, I think, was the second pick. But I mean, it was between those two guys, I think. So for me, it was like Spear all the way, and he just never became the guy that
I think he got hurt. I think he hurt his arm, and so his pitching side, never dived in. So. But
yeah, his control, I think, stayed at like 30. I was like, what are we doing here? So Terry Spear kissed my ass.
So throughout the years, you've had some success. You know, you had, who was the pitcher? Muthia?
Yeah. Muthia. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I was gifted him through Michael. I think he had a year and a half in the league when I took him over. But I mean, he carried me for, I don't know, 6 years, I think it was 7 years before I traded him to Vegas for six picks. But I mean, if you have a guy like that, you're going to have good records regardless. It's not tough to put a team around a guy like that. So, it wasn't a tough job to get them winning after a couple seasons. Like after my first two seasons, I went 42-102 and then 65-95. And then after that, we were mid 80s and then into the 90s. So, I mean, once we got the ball rolling and then with some of the stuff that Michael had stashed in the minors, it really wasn't a tough team to kind of get the ball rolling on. Mm-hmm. When I was doing it, all I heard from Sky Chat was, you know, how kind of elite this league is, how strong your team needs to be. And so I got it in my head that, you know, I need to build this like super like strong team, this elite team, or I'm not going to get anything done in this league. And I feel like when, you know, my first contention window, I really kind of blew it because I really only had three strong years where I really could have extended it probably by a couple of years if I just played my cards a little better and not kind of went all in as hard as I did. And I think that's kind of one of the lessons I've learned now, where I'm kind of trying to extend my window and for contention a little bit longer than what I did when I, you know, had three strong years between 2038 and 2040. But you know, I'm not one of those guys, and you know, it's not for me. And but I, you know, some guys do it in this league is where they win 50 games, you know, for five straight years, and then they come loaded with, you know, their whole minor league system develops, and then they plug them in and they're, you know, elite for 3 years. And then when it's time to pay everybody, they've got no money to do it. And then their window starts over again.
I think I'm taking strays over here.
Well, you know what? It's not for me, but I saw you do it. It worked for you. So, you know, I don't know. It's just not for me. You know, I like
everybody's different. I'm just having a little bit of fun, but yeah.
No. It's all right. But you know, like I see guys post people on the trade block, and I see some guys who are undervalued, and for me, I just can't help but make deals for those guys, even if it's, you know, I'm not trying to win a championship maybe that year, and you know, it kind of frigs with my record a little bit where, you know, I'm not.
And just
for 60 wins, I'm, you know, I've got 78 or 82.
And where, and you know, I've noticed that about your moves, because a couple of your moves while you were kind of in a little bit of a rebuild, like you picked up a couple of these guys who were big parts of your championship team. Cause I remember you were kind of in a little bit of a rebuild,
right,
as you dealt Muthia. And I think you picked up like Ibarra from the Mariners. And who?
Yeah. So yeah.
I think, and we'll get to your team. But I was just saying, since you brought that up, I think that Ibarra trade was really one of your underrated moves, because you made that trade before your window, before this team got really good, and then he's just been a great player for you amongst all of your studs.
Yeah. So Ibarra, I saw pop up, and I think the ask was a second rounder for him, and I checked him out, and he had like, he was a captain, he had no injuries, he was a 75 range 80 arm center fielder, and he wasn't a complete waste with the bat. And I was like, for a second round, you are not going to find a center fielder like that for a second rounder. And at that time it was 2042, and I just won 78 games, and I had just unloaded like Muthia, Mel Cruz, like a half of like Oliver Alexander, Avery Meyer. So I like unloaded all my pitching staff. So I had really nobody going forward. But I couldn't pass up getting a center fielder like that for a second rounder. And funny enough, as soon as I made that deal, D Rich popped up in my DM asking if I would trade him for a second and like a fourth rounder. And I was like, I was like, I don't think so. And then at the same time, I think I traded for like Dick Holden from Dan in Vegas, who was another like kind of just outfielder that played like 70 range outfield and could hit a little bit. So I kind of picked up like two center fielders at the exact same time, which, you know, worked out, I guess, in a sense where I had just good depth in the outfield, that with guys that I could kind of build around, with some of the guys that I was drafting in those kind of down years that I had in the next couple of years.
So you've accomplished quite a feat in Sky, and maybe not everybody has realized that you have completed in the playoffs the last 2 years, you have completed two reverse sweeps. An amazing feat. You've done it in back-to-back years, and you've done it against two of the best teams in the league and two of the more accomplished GMs in the league. So in 2047, you reverse swept the Braves. And yep. I remember the Twitch stream, that ninth inning of game, whatever it was, whether it was six or so, you know, or seven, was
that, did they hit the 3-run homer?
No, it was two outs in the ninth, and you literally, right. I think you got six right. or seven straight hits and scored four runs in the ninth to complete
right.
the sweep on the Braves, which was awesome. So as right. a,
well, you know, I feel like I'm doing this for the league. Cause if I'm not correct, but I'm pretty sure he has not won a cup, right?
That is correct. Newsflash, right. The Atlanta Braves have never made an SCS. So
I feel like I'm just doing this for the league.
You took one for the team, yeah.
Right, right. So, you know, give the fans what they want to see, make it a little exciting. So, and it just prepared me for what I was going to do this past season.
Yeah,
so
and then you did it again.
Yeah.
And on the grandest of stages, the SCS – down 3-0 to the Mariners, you win four straight. Just freaking amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to take credit, but I mean, I think we all know that this is probably one of the luckiest things that's probably ever happened in Skyline history. So I'd like to say that it's my shrewd GM move, but this was probably a dice roll thing as much as anything else, but. You know, if funny enough, like I was out to dinner with my wife and I was getting absolutely grilled and I was like, sorry, but this is taking precedence over anything that we're talking about here. So, you know what? It was worth the doghouse, ended up with the ring. So all is well in Memphis country.
I mean, your wife is now married to an SCS winner. What more does she want? Right.
Well, yeah, listen. She got her ring. I got mine.
Bingo. Bingo.
We're good to go.
Yeah. I mean, does she understand what this means, what winning a championship in Skyline is? It's amazing.
Well, I mean, you know, it's funny. Like, I'll pull up the file. We'll be in bed, just kind of watch TV. And it's kind of when I will pull up the file on my laptop and she'll look over and be like, more baseball. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, you don't understand. I need to get this done or I'm going to have Ryan knocking on my door ready to kick my ass about not exporting or not being active enough. So she's gotten used to it now. So it's been fun at the same time.
It's a lot of work too. To maintain this day of the league. It really is a lot of work. You know, obviously you can put as much as you want in, but if you're going to do it, you have to be committed. And obviously, you know, you are to your team and the league. So my hat's off on your championship. It's well-earned. Another expansion team has won a champ. I believe all four teams now have made an SCS. Three out of the four expansion teams have won an SCS now. We're just waiting on David.
So which is it, Fresno?
We're just waiting on David.
I think we might be waiting a while.
Saucy take.
Well, I is it a saucy take?
I think they got aggressive, but look, love David.
Yeah.
He's a hilarious guy.
No, he seems like a great guy. But I think the team building aspect is lacking a little bit. I've been watching some of his moves because I'm cheering for him. I want him to do well. But his, I don't know what it is, man. I just can't get on board with this team. And I say that, and I think I play him this week, so he'll probably sweep me 3-0.
Nice.
But I don't know. I just can't get on board with some of the guys that he's taken. But I'm cheering for him. I'm cheering for
you. Okay, so what you can get on board with is talking about the Blues. So, obviously, your offense starts with RJ Brown and Caleb Oliver. What don't you talk about them and just how fucking they're just two studs.
Yeah. And it's RJ Brown was, they might call me a liar, but I had, so my scout house had him with these bars when I drafted him. And I don't know if many did, because I think I said, I saw some people said they saw him kind of not TCR, but kind of dev up a little more than what they had him. But my scout had him like this right from the get-go, and I ended up getting him late in the second round.
Looks like a DH, right? It looks like a DH.
Well, yeah. I mean, I coming out of the draft, I think I had him with 50 range, which is like, for me, like I can't stand with players that have no position. Like right now, Adrian Cook is like, I'm ready to just, I wish someone would come and just take him. With like, even though despite that he had that huge, you know, hit or game seven last year. But like, I kind of get off topic a little bit with Adrian Cook, but RJ Brown, yeah, I had him at 50 range. He devved up to 55 and is now playing like a league average left field. Oliver was like a 15th pick, and I'd argue he's a top five hitter in the league. And so I think, again, people were worried about his fielding coming out of the draft. And again,
looks like a DH.
Looked like a DH coming out again at 50 range. I've got him at 55 with 80 arm. I don't think that's good enough to play right field. And again, I don't like his injury history. Not that I think he's wrecked, but I'm trying to protect him a little bit. So I'm throwing him at first base, where I think he's a little less likely to get injured. But those two guys are, you know, kind of carry my team. They're my top two hitters in the lineup. I don't really like to follow your prototypical lineup where you're throwing your speedy contact guys at the top of the lineup. For me, the top slots are the guys you want hitting the most. And so RJ Brown and Caleb Oliver, they're my 1-2. And, you know, without them, you know, this team is nowhere near where we ended up the last couple of years and how we started this year. So, it's going to be tough to keep them both. RJ starts to hit arbitration next year. Caleb's the year after. I staggered them so that they're not hitting arbitration at the same year. But I think at one point, probably next year or two, I think one of them probably has to go just for cap reasons. I feel like that's probably the one thing that teams struggle with most is money. And so I've been trying to stagger guys with their arbitration, but they're going to be asking for huge money here. So we'll probably be moving them one here in the next year or two. But yeah, no, those two guys are elite for me. Yeah, couldn't do it without either of those two guys.
So who would you call the unsung hero from last year? Is it Ibarra? Because I always saw him when I was watching the streams of the playoffs, it seemed like he's super clutch. Is there anybody else who would you call like an unsung hero from last year? A guy who just came out of nowhere and was just huge for you?
Okay, so I don't know what I kind of popped in, this idea popped in my head, but Adrian Cook went into the playoffs last year without playing a single regular season game. And I ended up hitting him clean up in my DH slot. And so I think they got to be on the 40-man roster before September 1st, I think it is, to be eligible.
Yep.
Yeah. So I looked at him. I knew he wasn't completely ready. He had no position to play. But I was like, you know what? He might not be, I could use him maybe in pinch hitting situations. So I threw him on the 40-man and it came to playoff time. And I always struggled with my DHs and first base because I was running like Jose Carvajal at first base. And while he crushes lefties against righties, he leaves a little bit to be desired. And Adrian Cook just kind of has, you know, the power where at any point in the game, he can hit one out and just kind of change, you know, the way a game goes. And so I said, you know, forget, let's throw him in a lineup. He's never played a regular season game, but let's kind of see how it goes. And the first round, I think he went bonkers, where he was just hitting everything. And then I think he went the next two rounds, or maybe the next two and a half rounds, where he struck out, I think, every at bat. And he's got like 30 avoid K, so he's swinging through everything. And then it was game seven, and I think he hit a homer in the first inning and then a homer in the third inning. And for me, it was Adrian Cook was, without him, I don't think there's any way that we end up winning the SCS. And so for me, the guy that had never played a regular season game comes in, and without him, we don't win the cup. So for me, it was Adrian Cook. You know, Ibarra made some great plays in center, but yeah, it's got to be Cook for me.
So let's get into your pitching staff a little bit. And you have probably the pitcher that is super good that nobody in the league talks about, in Clark Ryan. So why don't you go ahead and tell us all about this stud who makes no money, by the way, for being a number one starter.
Well, I mean, everyone hates a sidearm, a righty sidearmer, if I understand the league and everyone in the league.
I think we're coming around a little bit, but yeah.
Right. Yeah. Cause I was, when I'm looking around at trade targets, and every time someone trades for a sidearmer, they go, well, you got screwed on this because he's a sidearmer. But for me, he has been nothing but ace level for I don't know how many years. He came up in 2041, so 7, 8 years ago. And he's been putting up nothing but 3 and 4 war level years. And he finished his, after 5 years, and the reason he makes no money right now is because I signed with one of those greasy deals where you kind of front load them, and then the years decrease as, yeah. So if you look at his history, in 2045, he was making 19 mil, and then it's just decreased to where he's making 9.8 this year. So that's the only reason why he's making no money. And then, so he's a free agent to be, and I think he's asking for like 25 mil for next year. So we'll figure out what to do with him. But I mean, moving from Euphia to, and then kind of handing the reins off to this guy has made a huge difference. Pitching in this league is like diamonds in the rough. It's so hard. They're so hard to find. But I don't know when I got him. Was he a fifth rounder? Yeah, yes. Fifth rounder. So he got that little bump up that, you know, you kind of need. Like these were like we went through those drafts where we had like no pitching for like 3 or 4 years. And so trying to find pitching was almost impossible. I see that starting to come around now. But so he was kind of one of those ones that kind of TCR'd up a bit. And that was when pitching was hard to find. So yeah, Clark Bryant, he's been the guy for me. So we'll try and figure out what to do with him here next year. But for now, we're just gonna ride him till his arm falls off, I guess.
So let's talk about a former Pirate, Ryland Wilson, who you signed as a free agent after we let him go. He's you know, I always had him as a mid-tier guy, and he really has never, he's never pitched like a mid-year guy. He's been really good for the last like 4 or 5 years. So I think you got him on a, you signed him kind of cheap.
Yeah, he's. But,
yeah, because I know his ask
so he signed for 19.
was huge, and I couldn't pay him. So I think you kind of got him at the back end right. of free agency.
Well, I got hit. Yeah, I think it was like the start of spring training where the ask kind of come down. And so I got him for 2 years at 19 mil. And I was kind of tracking him all offseason, and I was doing scouting reports on him. And I was kind of hoping his control would bump up because I've got his control at 40. But if you look at his pitching stats, his base on balls per nine right now is at 1.7. And so something's not adding up with him. And this was also at the time when I think he appeared on Trent's like all Mad One team. And he was pissed off like with his control, his ability to pitch against left-handed batters.
Yes.
So when I signed him up, So when I signed him, I was like, oh shit, I must have screwed up here because I wasn't seeing what Trent had kind of shown. So I was like, great. I just wasted 20 mil on this guy who's got 40 control and is going to stink against left-handed batters. But I mean, his production has been nothing short of excellent. Like his walk rate is down. He gets up no homers. He's striking out at 10 Ks per nine. And I mean, for me, that's like a 1-2 starter between Bryant and Wilson. And again, he came out with no injury history. And for me, that's like another big thing. Like if there's any kind of injury history, like I'm not taking my chances on him. Like it's so hard to build depth in this league, especially with pitching, that if you got two or three starters kind of go down in the year, like you can't really make that up.
You're done. Yeah, you're done.
So yeah, like
you're calling up what a 45 overall in the minors, and you know, that's a coin flip.
Right. Right. And he's gonna go out and get shelled, you know, once a week. So for me, like I'll value injury history over ability. You know, for me, that's like 50-50. Like if you can run these guys out there for 30 starts a year, you're going to have a better chance than someone who signs that, you know, ace that's missing half the year. And now he's starting his, you know, triple A depth starter who's out getting shelled. So for me, like I'm looking at injury history as much as I am their ability and their stats. And so, yeah, Rylan Wilson, I appreciate you not being able to sign him and no one else going after him. So I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for getting him another ring. So, in terms of your pitching staff,
least I could do.
Yeah. In terms of your pitching staff from last year, is there anybody else who you want to talk about? I'm not going to lie to you, outside of Jeremy Lawton, who I've talked to you about because I stole him in the Rule 5 draft and I deffed him up. And then
from me, you
know, trade. A lot of these guys, I'm not really, you know, I don't know who Mason Long is, you know. So is there anybody who you want to talk about outside of the
right? Positions? Well, so for me, like bullpen is kind of an afterthought. And I think that's probably a little different mentality than what most guys have in this league. I think most guys want to, you know, have a pretty beefy bullpen. I just don't really believe in that, to be honest. Like I'll run out guys that are 50, 55 overall, and, you know, I kind of let them do their thing. And for me, it's just finding those like 50 rated starters that kind of get that little bump up to being like, you know, their stuff plays a little better in the bullpen, whether they have 2.5 pitches or just 2 pitches. You can kind of get that little like bump up with their velocity and their stuff. So I refuse to pay in the bullpen. And I think I picked up Mason Long from Ryan for like, I think it was like a 4th or 5th rounder. And he's injured right now. He's probably done for the year. But I mean, he's been my closer for last 4 years. I picked up, who did I pick up with a cheap contract? Sydney Castro. Again, he was kind of like a failed starter, but got the 80-80 fastball that plays in the bullpen. Eric Wilson, having a real shit year this year, but last year's 1.7 WAR out of the bullpen. And again, a failed starter.
That's a lot of WAR.
Two and a half pitches
of
slider. Think. Yeah, I mean, he threw 82 pitches out of the bullpen last year.
Yeah, he was really good out of your pen.
And I kind of set it up where I don't really have like a kind of a setup and a closer. I'll throw two long relief pitchers, and then the rest of the guys are kind of middle relief. And from what I found is, and I don't, it's rare that the game kind of makes your bullpen work well or have the right matchups, but for me, I find like when I have it like this, it picks out the pitchers that are kind of going well and uses them a little more. And so like, if you look right now, like I've got Ernest Martinez, well, like Jeff Pointer. Is he?
Yes.
Martinez?
Yes.
Yes, he is. Yeah. Yeah. So, and again, he started that 1 year, didn't do well. So again, he was kind of like that failed starter that works well in the bullpen. So like, I hate paying for bullpen. I will rarely do it. Although today I put out a need for kind of like a high strikeout guy in the bullpen, because if you look right now, I think I'm, what am I? 18th in bullpen ERA with, and my FIP is second. So you can see that my rotations really carry me right now. That's kind of pissed me off, is my bullpen is not doing what they're supposed to. But again, I'm still not going to pay for a bullpen. I won't do it. I'd rather put that into my lineup or my starting rotation. But I feel like that's probably a little different than how some guys build their teams here. It is what it is.
It worked.
There
isn't one way to build a team. You know, there's a multitude of ways, and you know, some guys want the bullpen. You know, you obviously have a different opinion on it. So some people want a rotation. Some people trot out shit guys and hope for the best, you know. So there isn't one way to win at this game.
I think we get kind of caught up in like the overall and potential, like the way they handle overalls in this game is, of course, like dog shit. Like AJ Cutway is a 50 overall. Like he is not a 50 overall. Leighton Rodriguez, 45 overall. He is not a 45 overall.
No, well, I wouldn't consider him.
And you know what? That's
stamina is what it is. It's stamina.
Well, yeah. It's and like his hold runners is like a 20. Like it's the worst it gets. So yeah, I can see how like that decreases his value. But like the guy's a stud, and that's kind of one thing. Like I. You know, this league kind of like carries itself on being like some of like the best of the best managers. And for me, like, I think like using overall and potential is kind of like a crutch. And I'm shocked at how there's no talk of like getting rid of using overall and potential. And I don't know if that's ever been talked about before, but like, that was ever a conversation.
Slack would explode.
Would it?
It would. Yes. Yeah. That is a big change. If Trent was not on a sabbatical right now from Slack and he was listening, his head would explode.
Is Trent for or against it?
Trent would probably be against it. But
Against getting rid of them?
Yes. Because I think
Oh,
that's a
my.
core part of the league. And I think that's a big change. Like, that's a big, because it changes everything about the league, I think. So I think Trent's head would explode.
I think you find the guys who like really know how to evaluate talent. Like you get
And
the
no,
guys that, you
and
know.
I know what's going to happen is that everybody who's listening to this right now, after we do this, I'm going to go into Slack and there's going to be 1,000 messages about, oh, we need to get rid of it. And it's going to be hilarious.
We need to. Like you get the guys that sort by overall and then they go, I'm gonna sign this guy, and this guy. And then they end up with, you know, all these high overall guys that don't really fit their team. And because they don't
Well,
know how
no,
to
and
evaluate talent.
you're absolutely right. You have to look at splits, bars, defense. I mean, there's a lot to look at when you're going to sign, an 80-80. Like, how's he fit
Right.
in your lineup? Where does he play? Can he hit lefties? There is a lot more than just looking at overall. So.
Right. Oh, like Adrian Cook, they got him 65 overall, 80 potential. And I despise Adrian Cook. Like I had a deal for him. And who was it with? Oh, the old San Diego owner. And he threw up Reyna, the shortstop on the trade block. And I think I approached him with trying to give him Cook for Reyna. I was looking for a shortstop at the time, and I hadn't traded for Cano yet from the White Sox. And I was like, I got to get rid of this Cook guy. He strikes out a ton. He has no speed. He can't run the bases, and he's got no position. Like, he is the bane of my existence. And the Padres owner just kind of hummed and hawed. And finally, I was like, all right, he's not going to do anything. So I had to move on from that. So I went and grabbed Cano. But like Adrian Cook, he's not a 65 overall, 80 potential guy. And for me, like overall potential, they got to go. I firmly believe it. That'll get me in Slack. I'll send 100 messages a day.
Oh boy.
Overall potential. Let's get rid of it.
Okay, let's just simmer down. Let's just simmer down for a second. Okay. Oh
Come
man,
on. What do you
I
think
can
though?
only imagine, because I actually have a league. My first league does not have it on, and it's basically it's.
Same. My first one doesn't either.
Are we in the same league? No, I don't. I've no. No, I don't think we are.
I
But,
don't know. I don't think
yeah, it
so,
doesn't
probably
have, it
not,
does
but
not have it on, so you have to go by, ratings and stuff like that. So it's kind of annoying
right.
because every other league I've had, I've been in has had it on, except for this one league.
Right.
It's kind of,
Right.
for me, it's kind of annoying, but again, I've
if we
not.
want to call it, yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, if like we want to call ourselves like, you know, some of the best, like, I don't know. I just feel like we're kind of like, it's kind of like training wheels is using the overall and the potential. So, you know, for me, it's like, I just think we're kind of, you know, making it a little easier than what we could be doing.
Okay, so we'll just put that one off to the side.
I mean, yeah.
Okay,
All
is there,
right.
so let's just leave this one off to the side because I think that one's going to be a hot topic.
All right.
Let's
All
kind of
right.
lighten it up a little bit. Is there anything else about Sky that you want to talk about? Anything in general? Issues or anything at all? That's
Oh
not going to
man.
be a hot topic in Slack.
I think we got a bunch of guys, not a bunch, but there's a few that probably think that they are a whole lot better at managing their teams than they really are.
Yes, dude. Yes, I love where you're going with this.
And like I see, because like I may not be talking to Slack, but I am seeing a lot of the messages. And I think we had like a GM ranking like a month ago or a couple weeks ago where guys were like ranking GM. And some of the guys' confidence level in their own GM skills is way too high than the actual production that we're seeing. And I don't think it's going to be too surprising about who we're going to name. So I think our biggest culprit is Casey Matt.
Yes.
Right? Gotta be. I think, like, Ryan keeps opening up new years of draft picks that he can trade. Like, I just feel like we just keep extending the years that can be traded. And he just keeps unloading draft picks for, like, this mediocre talent level and ends up 500 or less year after year. And he talks like he is, like, cream of the crop of Sky. And I don't know. He's just being a troll, or if he's trying to be funny, or if it's like his stick or whatever it is. But for me, Casey Matt is probably like a bottom five GM of the league. And I don't shit on him, because like I've tried, like I do deals with him. I think he's a good guy, but like I think he's a bottom five GM.
I don't think you're the only one who has that opinion of him. I like Matt. I've been in this league a long time, and Matt's been in here longer than me, obviously, too. I've made lots of trades with Matt, and Matt and I have talked about trades many a time. And Matt's a good guy, but yeah, I don't think he would be anywhere near the upper tier in terms of overall GMing. I think of trading, I think he's number one. Like, he can figure out a trade. Every trade he makes, there is another trade three steps ahead he's already thought of. So,
You know what? He's a top five guy to trade with, because he'll tell you exactly what he wants or what he expects. Yep. And
he'll,
you either do it or you don't, and then you move on.
Yeah. If there's a deal to be made, it gets done. Yeah. And it'll get done in 3 minutes. Boom.
100%.
No,
he's
no,
a
it
top
does.
Five deal maker. But yeah. Yeah.
So I normally give the champion a opportunity
hilarious.
To talk shit about another GM. I believe I just did. So officially, is there anybody else you want to talk shit about officially?
Okay.
The floor is yours.
Okay. I wouldn't say this is talking shit. But Trent, his team is not cursed. Okay. His team is not cursed. He is an elite member of Sky. He puts out unbelievable content. I love him. I think he's awesome. He's just not a great manager right now. And I don't know what his history's been like in Philly.
It's been not good.
Except for the past 10 years. But all I see, like, I see his rants in general chat, and they absolutely kill me. And like, the more he goes on a rant, like, the more happy I get for whatever reason. I don't know what it is, but like, I don't know what he was ranting about the other day, but he put out like a paragraph of just like nonsense about like why he wasn't winning or like all the bad luck he's getting. And for me, it was just like Christmas again. I don't know why, but like, the worse Philly does, and the like more mad Trent gets, the happier it makes me. And I don't know why, but I love him. I wish he would do better, because I think he's great for Sky. Like, his content that he produces is elite. He's an awesome guy, but his team is not cursed. If he ever wants to switch one day, I would do it for him, just to show that I don't think Philly's cursed. And then let me get to my next thing here. These guys that are switching teams after like going through their contention window, unloading all their draft picks, then switching teams.
Oh boy.
I think that is like bottom of the barrel stuff.
Oh boy.
Like, I don't
well,
know who.
I
like,
don't know who you mean by that.
Is well
JP.
Yeah. And everyone talks about him and his like spreadsheet. Was he the spreadsheet guy?
Yes.
Is he the spreadsheet guy? Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen much out of him in the 10 years I've been here, or 10 seasons. So maybe he in the past has been a lot more successful. But I don't know. Like, it's, I think it's like, you know, pretty bitchy moves if you're unloading all your draft picks. You're about to go struggling again, and then you move somewhere else. So,
to be fair,
if you're being offended, if you're being offended by that, then so be it.
I don't think the Yankees were about to go in the tank. I think he was building the team up to contend, and then jump ship. I don't think he was going into the tank. So,
okay, now, that's fair. That's fair.
The Yankees obviously are a very good team still. We have a new gym over there.
You're right. They're still in a playoff spot.
Yeah, I mean, they're still very good. Obviously, Scott came into a situation he probably didn't want to. And now we have another new GM, obviously, Jakob. So we –
Jakob, fellow Canadian. He's Canadian, yeah.
We have so many in this league. It's crazy. It's almost like we should change our designation to a Canadian baseball league. It's crazy how many Canadians are in this league.
We got to create our own division, the Canadian guys, man.
Amin would just win everything.
Yeah.
I mean, who are we talking? So. But
yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I like that you actually threw some shade at like what, three or four guys there. I love it. I love it. So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, whatever.
That's good because right? I'm sure all those guys are gonna be like, "Who the fuck is this guy? Who is this guy?"
Well, like you said, like 50% of the league probably doesn't even know I'm the GM of the Blues. So
yeah,
might as well introduce myself some kind of way, right?
Yeah. So
yeah, why not?
So on that note, we're gonna call it a night. Corey, I appreciate your time. I hope you've enjoyed your time on the Championship Pod. Unfortunately, we don't have a two-timers pod. So obviously the invitation will be open to join another pod if you feel so likely to join one. So I hope you've enjoyed your time in the league, and good luck this year.
I appreciate it. And you know what? Sorry about not being in chat. I'll be a little more active for Ryan and everyone else. So
on January
look out
1st.
For the Blues in the chat on January 1st. Yeah. Yeah. Not for the next couple of days. So we'll see everyone in a couple of days.
All right. And with that, we're going to sign off. Later, guys.